Good morning. Welcome you to the service here at Elkmont, and I'm privileged to be a part of this effort. And thank the elders for the opportunity today, and good to be with Steve and Angie and their whole family. And realize we look around this room, there's even some Bethelites, as we call you here. And as I say, you hear me all the time, but the fact of the matter is you're here, and I appreciate that as well. What do you do on a Sunday morning? What do you do on a Sunday afternoon or evening? What do you do when it comes to spiritual things? When you wake up on a Sunday, what do you think? As far back as I can remember, even in my childhood, Sunday was going to church. You never ask the question, well, what are we going to do today? Now, you might do that on Monday or Tuesday or certain other days, but you never ask that question on Sunday because it is ingrained in the child of God, what Sunday is. And if I were to ask you the question, in the day of judgment, when a person has dedicated their lives on Sundays to be there when the doors are open, and not just to come, but to worship as the Bible defines worship, is that going to make any difference? What about the hundreds, maybe thousands of people today that see today just another day? Sunday, it's just another day. As a matter of fact, it's a weekend day. It's a day to get recovered, basically because I got to go to work tomorrow. Matter of fact, there may be people say, well, I got to work tonight, so I got to sleep in today. Or I stayed up too late last night, and I just couldn't get myself up out of bed. The day of judgment. Is that person going to wish that they were here or somewhere like here? Worship. In the 84th Psalm, there were a group of gentlemen called the sons of Korah. You're familiar with Korah, right? Korah was the one that rebelled. He was one of the Kohathites, Korah, Dathan, Abiram, in the book of Numbers. He had a tremendous privilege. He literally, of the Kohathites, were the ones that could touch the poles of the Ark of the Covenant, could handle all the furnishings. And yet, he wanted more. He wanted the priesthood. He wasn't a priest. Only the sons of Aaron could be priests. But Korah, and along with Dathan and Abiram, that weren't even Levites, wanted more than that. They weren't satisfied with it. How many of you know people that are not satisfied with worship as we do it today? This is boring. I don't want the religion, and I don't want the worship service of my parents and grandparents. I want something different. I want something new. By the way, you do know that whatever is new now, you do that 10 years in a row, it's going to not be new anymore, right? It's going to be old. So if you're going to want something new, what are you going to do in 10 years? You're going to look for something different. In other words, the heart is never satisfied when we're always chasing something that's new. Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, Jeremiah told the people, stand you in the way and see and ask for the old paths wherein is the good way. In other words, what was in the past that's currently in the present is the good way. It was good then. Jeremiah says it's good now. It says you'll find rest of your souls. But it says in Jeremiah 6, 16, but they said, we will not walk therein. So the question is, the sons of Korah, the children, the descendants of Korah, what's their attitude toward spiritual things, toward worship? Psalm 84 is 12 verses in our Bible, but Psalm 84, it can equally divide it into three parts of four verses apiece. Each one of these sections has to do with the nature of worship, and it has to do with the proper attitude of worship. It's not just coming to fill an hour time slot. It's come to worship. You are familiar with the fact today that you didn't come in here to be a spectator. There's only one spectator in this room. That's God Almighty. You came here to do something. You came here to actively worship. And there are in this section here, these three sections of Psalm 84, the very heart of the descendants of a rebellious man who literally, as we say, they got it. You ever seen anybody that gets worship? They get it. They sing from the heart. They're not just taking a power nap while the person's leading the prayers. They're engaged in a study of the Bible when the Bible is read and studied. When it comes to the Lord's Supper, they're not thinking about, you know, the pot roast being burned or what am I going to do this afternoon. It's literally do in remembrance of me. The giving of one's means is of a cheerful spirit. And when they walk out of here, they say it is good for us to have been here. That's Psalm 84. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out to the living God. Yea, the sparrow has found a house, and the swallow a place for her nest, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Then you have the little five-letter word, Selah. By the way, that's untranslated. That's transliterated. It's a Hebrew word. It basically means pause. It's the end of a stanza. Next line. Blessed are they whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also fills the pool. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appears before the Lord. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Next line. There's a Selah at that one too. Next line. Behold, O God, our son, or our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed, referring to the king. I'd rather be a keeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents. A day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of thy God than to dwell in the courts of the wicked or tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. He will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And then he says, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man whose trust is in thee. Those three stanzas of that song have to do with the attitude of worship and has to do with a worshiper when they leave this building, that they say, that was exactly what I needed today. I can't remember the gentleman's name that came in today, and he pointed to his chest when he walked up to me. He says, I need something for this. And I've said, what is this, a pacemaker or what? He says, no, I need my heart lifted up. Well, trust me, there is not a psalm in the Psalms that does not do something to your heart. This is one of them. The first four verses has to do with praise to God, lifting up your voice in song to God. By the way, the Kohathites were not the singers. The sons of Asaph were the singers. The Kohathites were the doorkeepers. According to the Chronicles, that was during the days of David and then Solomon and on down. Those generations, basically the ones, the first people you met at the tabernacle door or at the temple door would be the sons of Korah. They would be the ones that let you in. Good morning. How are you doing? They would be the ones there standing as you're going out. Have a nice day. By the way, Walmart, have a blessed day, right? Or Chick-fil-A, not on a Sunday, right? What's the idea here? They will still be praising thee. So we're going to talk about that right now. Second of all, they're going to pray unto thee. O Lord, hear our prayer. By the way, a part of worship service is not just a song service. A part of a worship service is a prayer. As a matter of fact, it's praying as pouring out your soul unto God, Hannah said. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 12. And last of all, it is putting your trust in the one you came to worship. Look, you didn't come in here just to do something and walk out there and now I'm going to put confidence in me. I feel better about myself. No, I feel better about the God that I came to worship. How amiable are thy tabernacles? Is it not nice and convenient for me and you to be in an air-conditioned building in July? By the way, I haven't seen the first mosquito in here either. Not a one. But I want you to imagine in the Old Testament days, even when Solomon built the temple, you worshiped outside. Get that in your head. Worship services were outside. Only the priest went into the building. Only the priest. You went out into the courtyard, to the court of the tabernacle, the court of Solomon's temple, the court in Jesus' day of Herod's temple. You worshiped outside. And by the way, and you likely stood up. Stood up. Man, is this not better? It's air conditioned. It's indoors with no bugs and mosquitoes and flies. How many of y'all have been to tent meeting? By the way, you're getting close to the idea here. Some of you probably say, how many of you been to a Brush Harbor meeting? Well, I don't even remember that. But the idea is you're out in the elements, and they say, how amiable. What in the world does amiable mean? Amiable carries with the idea of to friendly, pleasant. This is great. As a matter of fact, after services are over here today, I'm going to Camp Nayati. We'll be there starting today all the way through Friday. I teach class at a pavilion. Okay, whatever the temperature is, I can't control the thermostat. Y'all got that? Can't control the thermostat. Whatever bugs are out in the grass, they're going to be in there if you're sweating, if you didn't put on bug spray. And let me tell you something. By this Friday, there are going to be kids who are squalling. Y'all know what squalling means? They're going to be squalling because they have to go home. By the way, they're sleep deprived. They're probably starving to death. But the fact of the matter is, they look forward to this every year. It's hot, muggy, buggy, and you love this? To them, I've heard kids tell me, this is my favorite week of the year. I said, you don't have Christmas? You don't have a birthday during the year? Do you think those kids get it? Then they come home and they want that to be transferred from there to here. As a matter of fact, first song your song leader led today. Very first song. We don't sing this song so much at Bethel. We sing this every year at camp. It is the last song we sing at camp before we all go home on Friday. Greatest Commands. Okay? And I have to lead it. By the way, I'm the one that taught camp years ago that song. And we sing it exactly the way you write it. So by the way, that's very scriptural, the way y'all got it written out in here. Just kidding, by the way. But the idea behind that is what? When these kids are singing this song and I'm standing there, they're squalling. They're literally crying. Some of them are so choked up with emotion, they can't even sing it. And yet to them, you can't close camp without that song. You can't do it. And it's hot and we're outdoors. That's right. Because we get it. We get it. My soul longs, yea, even faints for the courts of the Lord. The idea of to crave this. How many of you have ever known of anyone who's been away from a worship service and then when they come back, it's like, I've missed this. I remember a young man who was in what was called the Iraq War. You remember Desert Storm, Desert Shield, the Iraq War? That young man, the whole time he was over there in the military, in the Marines, he couldn't go to worship service one. Of course, they had chaplains and so forth. But when he finally came home, by the way, he came home in the month of July. He got home on the weekend, and the first place he went besides his own mom and daddy's house was he went to camp. He went to Limestone Bible Camp the second Sunday in July. Why in the world do you not? Surely there's a refrigerator, it's air conditioned. You're going to camp? Yes, because that's my memory. And then he talked about going to worship services on Sunday. He says, do you know I haven't been able to go to a worship service in months? And Sunday, this is Sunday. My soul longs, yea, even faints for the courts of my heart and my flesh cry out. Do you notice the direction there? Heart first, flesh second. Worship is not on the outside that comes in, folks. Worship is from the inside that comes out. Get it? You didn't come in here for the lights to be turned down low and for everybody to get together and sway. Nobody had to get you in the mood to worship, correct? You already were ready to worship. All you are waiting on is the number of the song and to get it started. Shake or nod. Worship starts in here and comes out. You don't start out here to come in. If you understand that, you get worship. If you're looking for some setting, if you're looking for something different, if you're looking for something new to change you on the inside, something's already wrong with you on the inside. Shake or nod. It is my conviction that this is the problem of the community church movement. That the community church is trying to find what is it that you want that will help you. We will do it. Let me tell you something. This is what you want. This will help you. And those that want to do this, be around these people and you will get worship. By the way, are we going to be doing like playing golf and fishing and swinging on the back porch in heaven? No. You know what you're going to be doing when you make it to heaven? You're going to be worshiping. Might I ought to understand what I'm going to be doing in heaven while I'm down here? Surely I should get it down here, because let me tell you something. If this is a miserable experience to you, God is not going to put you in a place where you're going to be miserable. You do understand the line I just said, right? If you don't enjoy this, if you don't get anything out of it, this is door. Well, do you know he's long-winded? I wish he'd hurry up and get through so we could get out of here. If this is not where you want to, God is not going to put, by the way, I don't think you're going to like the alternative because there ain't but one alternative, right? This is preparation. What we're doing on a Sunday is preparation for what we're going to be doing eternally in heaven. Eternally. The sons of Korah in Psalm 84 got it. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee. Praising thee. What does that mean? Years ago, the late brother Gus Nichols came to a gospel meeting that my father was preaching in somewhere down in Walker County, Alabama. I was old enough to drive Dad back and forth. We went and stay in hotels. Generally, if he was in, you could sleep in your own bed, you drive him back and forth every night to the meeting. So I was driving down there, and Brother Nichols came to the meeting. And Brother Nichols sat on the second pew from the front. By the way, Brother Nichols never sat in the rear. He always sat on the second pew in the front, not to be seen, but so he could have nothing in front of him. Nothing. When services are over, Dad's in the back, and I'm in the back, basically wondering when are we fixing to leave. The next thing you know, Brother Nichols is standing in the back of the building with a bunch of people. He opened up the songbook, and he said, "How many of y'all know this song right here?" And some of them's like, "Well, I don't know, but maybe you can teach us to it." He says, "Okay, everybody get your songbook." And they're standing in the back here. By the way, my daddy was not one of those. Okay? My daddy's shaking them out during the gospel meeting. The next thing you know, Brother Nichols just breaks into song and they start singing four-part harmony. Next thing they get there with that song, they said, how many of y'all know this song? Well, I don't know that one. He said, "Well, let me teach it to you." Next thing, Brother Nichols is leading singing after the services are over in the back of the building. My daddy's standing in the foyer. He looks at me and says, "Let's go. I was going to talk to Brother Nichols after the service. He's going to be here all night. We got to go home." And literally, Brother Nichols is still leading singing when we're in the car headed North Alabama. He will still be praising you. Brother Nichols, by the way, is in paradise right now. I believe that. He's been deceased now for decades. You reckon Brother Nichols knows how to sing? You reckon he's unimpeded? How long has he been singing? How many songs do you reckon he's led? Do you think he got it? You think he got worship? Second point, prayer. They go from strength to strength. Where is your strength? The strength of these people was in prayer. Can you imagine having an entire worship service and not having a single prayer? Not an opening prayer, not a closing prayer, no prayer. We're going to have singing, we're going to have the Lord's Supper, we're going to have giving, we're going to have preaching, but we're not going to have any prayers. Let me ask you a question. Anybody that's ever been on a sick list, do you reckon those folks wanted the church to pray for them? I had a lady yesterday call me on the phone crying about a child of hers who is in major physical pain. And it's creating huge emotional problems for this child. And she wanted it to go out on what we call our rapid call list so that the whole church could pray for this child. You ever had the church pray for you when you were sick? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? You ever had the church pray for you when you had a loss of a loved one to death? You hadn't. A day's coming. You hadn't experienced that yet. You ever had a preacher come pray with you at the hospital and you wouldn't let him go until he prayed? You ever seen that? I've had people call me to get me up out of bed to go to a nursing home to pray for a woman before she died so that I'd pray with the family. 2 o'clock in the morning, folks. Why do these people want prayer? Why? Prayer mean to you who passing through the valley of Baca? What in the world's that? B-A-C-A. The Hebrew word Baca literally means to weep. The valley of weeping. Evidently these people, as they're on their way to worship, they've had some tough times in their life. And I could stay home and weep and feel sorry for myself, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get up and I'm going to go where there's prayer. I'm going to go where there's God's people. I'm going to go where they sing the songs of Zion. I'm going to go where I hear the word of God read out loud. And when I leave, I'm going to feel better. Remember Hannah in 1 Samuel 1:12 that I mentioned already? That Hannah's the other woman at the house, right? Peninnah, Elkanah's other wife. Peninnah brings a child into the world and Hannah doesn't have any children and she wants a child worse than anything. And by the way, Elkanah is much more of an efficient husband as far as goodness toward Hannah than he ever was to Peninnah. Am I not better than you than 7 sons? Yet Hannah goes to the tabernacle, right? Eli, the old high priest, judge, is there. Bible says that Hannah moved her lips, but she didn't say anything out loud. Eli thinks she's drunk. You know what Hannah told him? Says, your handmaid is not drunk. I'm not a child of Belial. I have poured out my soul unto God. You ever done that? You ever prayed for a loved one that's dying? You ever prayed for your kids, parents? How about your grandkids, grandparents? You ever prayed for a real close friend that was near and dear to you because they were going through some real, real hard times? Then you get this song. And when your heart is bowed down in sorrow, don't run away from the worship services. Run to them. Get it? Run to them. Because that's where your strength lies. Third part. The Lord God is a shield. He's your protection. He's the sun that comes up in the east and sets in the west. He's the one that gives you light, that gives you guidance. He will give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. You want to do the right thing? You want to follow the righteousness of the path of God? Not only show up at worship services, when you leave a place of worship, I will put my trust in you. I couldn't help but think about the gentleman that's standing here leading the opening prayer just a few minutes ago. He was talking about this country, talking about our leaders. In Psalm 27 and verse 13, the Bible says of David, I had fainted unless I had believed in the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. How many of y'all believe that line? If you did not believe that God was still on the throne, that God was in complete control of the universe even at this moment, you didn't believe in God whatsoever, guess what kind of world you got? How many of you get discouraged? How many of you see all the mess going on out here in the society in which we're living in? Psalm 73, when you've got this psalmist, it talks about, my foot almost slipped. Why? Because I'm envious of the wicked. Looks like the wicked don't have any problems. Now his problem was, when he goes to the holy place, the sanctuary, what is it? Then learned I therein. By the way, if he had avoided worship services, if he had avoided where the reading of the Bible was going to be, what would he have done? He had still been fretting. But now I go to the services with a problem that I'm trying to deal with, and when I hear the reading of the Bible read to me, I get it. It looks like they're prospering. They're not prospering. I'm the one that's prospering. I put my trust in God. They're not putting their trust in God. While it looks like they're prospering and I'm suffering, the real picture is I'm the blessed one. You believe that? Is it more blessed to worship than not to worship? How many of you say, well, I've got better rest and peace and a power nap at home all the way up to 10 o'clock this morning than what I had today? And here's what they said. A day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather just be the doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. A day at a worship service is better than 1,000 days anywhere else, shake or not. How many of you ever heard of this place called Disney World, Orlando, Florida? Right at the entrance gate when you drive in, it says, happiest place on earth. Correct? How many are familiar with the line? Happiest place on earth. Let me tell you something. Happiest place on earth is right here. I'd rather have one day here than 1,000 in Disney World. Come on, shake or nod. I'm not talking about how much it's going to cost you or the agenda of Disney Corporation right now. One day here, one Sunday, is better than 1,000 days at Disney World. By the way, that'd be 3.5 years of Disney World, right? By the way, do you know you'd get bored of that after a while? It's the same stuff over and over and over. One day here is better than 1,000 days on the Tennessee River with a fishing pole in your hand. One day. We say, well, I don't fish and I don't go to Disney World. Well, what is your happy place? The late, talked about Brother Nichols. The late Brother Nichols said he had a stroke. The doctors were trying to work with him. And by the way, Brother Nichols was a stroke on his right side. And he said, someone need to teach me left-handed how to write so I make sermon outlines here in this hospital bed. What do you think his pleasure was? Paralyzed on his whole right side, and then over here, teach me how to write left-handed so I can make sermon outlines. Where is that man's heart? Who does he trust? Does he get anything out of prayer? And what about singing? What about the Bible? You get it? One day here is better than 1,000 days anywhere else. Sons of Korah said that. I'd rather be the one that they gave a key to the church building and let me lock and unlock the doors than to have anything that's out here among ungodly people in the world. They may live in Beverly Hills. They may live on Madison Avenue in a penthouse apartment. I'd rather be with God's people than anywhere, shake or nod. That's Psalm 84. That's just one of 150 of them, folks. It's just one. And if you get that psalm, you get worship. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, do you believe that Christ is the Son of God? And we're not even talking about New Testament worship here. What do we have as New Testament Christians that they didn't even have in the Old Testament? They're still waiting on the coming of the Messiah. Our Messiah has already come. The Messiah has already come. And all spiritual blessings and heavenly places are in Him. I wouldn't swap what I have as a Christian for anything that's out here in this world. Listen, I'll never quit the Lord. I know what I got in Him. I know what I got in worship. I know what I've got in prayer. I know what I've got in song. I know what I've got in the trust that I put in my Lord. He will give grace and glory, and no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. And blessed is the man that trusts in You. Right? Trust and obey, for there's no other way. To be what? What's that song say? To be happy. Well, I'd be happy if you'd quit. To be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Welcome to Psalm 84 in principle. You willing to turn away from a life of sin? Confess the faith you have in Christ, and today be baptized into Christ, and to walk out of here a saint, a holy one, a child of God, a Christian, on your way to heaven to worship God, who you don't see with your eyes right now, but whom you will see forever and ever. Maybe you need to come back to your first love. Maybe this song has shown you, boy, that's what I've been looking for. It's been in there all along, by the way. Right? Just because I preached it didn't mean it hadn't been in there all along. If you're subject to heaven's invitation, will you then come? While together, stand and sing.